So I grew up in a church that, and this was just a few years ago, like it's coming up 70 years ago, next month, woo! But I grew up in a church that they didn't even give out Bibles. All right? So I didn't know nothing. And then I received Jesus because someone showed me a Bible and said, you know, it's not good enough. Matter of fact, it's not enough just to belong to a church. And I belong to a church. I went every Sunday. I didn't miss. And then, so I received Jesus and I finally get a Bible. And here's the crazy thing. Then later on, you know, I grow in Jesus and church and stuff like that. And we're doing stories downstairs in children's ministry. I'm hearing them for the first time in my life. And I was like 25 years old because I didn't have, no one told me you should have a Bible and read it. Why am I going? Get yourself a Bible, start reading it. And I'll tell you what, Genesis just blow the socks off of you. Crazy stuff. And I have a story in Genesis, but we're going to end with that. Anyway, Pastor D's, okay. Hey, you guys must have turned the AC on. I feel good now. I was thinking there I was going to take off this jacket. Whoa, all righty. Well, we're on week 3 of a series on the Sermon on the Mount. How many of you have been here for some of it? Sermon on the Mount? Okay, good. And Bible scholars say this, as important as and impactful are the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament, in the New, say I live in the New, okay, in the New Testament, the Sermon on the Mount is one of the most important teachings that Jesus does. So I'm going to agree with them, and I think it's vital. So we're digging into Sermon on the Mount, and we said last week, really I say every week, if you want to know how to live a transformed life, that means you don't live the way you used to. Okay, if you want to know how to live a transformed life, this is why Jesus starts dishing out the Sermon on the Mount, all right? So if you want to know how to live gooder, you get into the Sermon on the Mount. And someone said, oh, it's just a bunch of do's and don'ts. No, it's a bunch of this is much better. And, you know, I found out the way I lived before, this is much better. How many of you agree this is much better? Man, it is so good, so good. Okay, we also said the Sermon on the Mount starts off with the word blessed. And Matthew chapter 5, you can open up to Matthew 5. We'll eventually hop around there a little bit. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is climbing up a mountain, and his disciples come up, and they sit down with him, and he starts teaching them. Then in chapter 7, about halfway through, the rest of the game, the whole crowd starts following him up and he starts teaching them. And I said this last week, it was very interesting because the way he taught his disciples for the first chapter 5 through 6.5 was different than the way he was going to teach the crowd. And for me, and really this is for y'all, because how you talk to people that are believers, Jesus talked to them differently than those that weren't believers. Everybody say yet. Yet. So you can't go cramming stuff in them. Then you just, blah, okay? So you just kind of, you know, it's hearing the Lord. What do I say? Because this is a group that doesn't know the Lord. Alrighty, so Beatitudes, or the Sermon on the Mount, the first couple chapters, Jesus starts off with the word blessed. How many of you know what the word blessed means? Blessed, happy, fortunate, jubilant when God confers or extols blessing on you. First off, Jarrett's doing a great job. I gave him some things last minute, only 3 pages. So he's doing a really good job, okay? It's my fault. So, happy, fortunate, jubilant when God confers, extols blessings on you. Now, here's my question. How can you be happy and jubilant? Because in verse 5, it says, are those who are poor. Oh, yeah, real happy, I'm poor. Well, this verse that we're going to read has nothing to do with finances, okay? It has to do with being poor in spirit, and we're going to review that in a minute, all right? So, happy, fortunate, jubilant, okay? So if I'm happy, fortunate, and jubilant, then this is a good gospel. Like, put a smile on your face. You're not supposed to be the sad and the mad. You should be joyful, right? Thank you. One smile back there. Go, girl. And you know why? You got delivered out of hell. Everybody say hell. So when I used to teach kids downstairs, this, you know, you're not allowed to say bad words, but I said, we're allowed to say this. And they'd go, hell, 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 hell. And they just crack up. All right. So, you know, sometimes you just throw these words out there. Guys, you ought to be happy. You got delivered out of hell. You know, I smile when I say that. Transferred out of the kingdom of darkness, Satan's kingdom, into the kingdom of light. You ought to be happy. Smile at your neighbor and say, I'm happy. Yay. Okay. Just a quick review. We said the Beatitudes are progressive. They start with salvation, okay? And then they end up with you being persecuted. Everybody go, yippee. Yippee. Being persecuted for being a Christian. Yippee. Okay. All right. And if you want to know about being persecuted, just open your eyes to what the world's doing to Christians in this nation and other countries, okay? So it doesn't matter. Everybody say it doesn't matter. I am going to stand with Jesus. I'm going to stand strong and be the light I'm called to be, all right? All right, Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall, what? The kingdom of God. You're going to get the kingdom of God. So what is poor in spirit? It means to be empty or desolate, destitute, excuse me. Empty or help me out. Thank you. So if I'm a believer, I've asked Jesus into my life, I'm a believer, I am no longer empty or, what's that word? Destitute. Praise God. Okay. So what is Jesus saying? You're happy, blessed, and jubilant are those that are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And what happened that day when Jesus said that is he said, I am now opening the kingdom of God to everybody, that they can come into the kingdom of God. That's happy. Amen? I'm still happy. Amen. Praise God. All right. So that was verse 3, 5-3. Then verse 4, Matthew 5, 4, talks about the Holy Spirit, and it says, happy are those who mourn. They'll be comforted. And we said that word comforted is the same word that Jesus has used for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the comforter. Okay, and you know, when I shared this 2 weeks ago, we were talking about, hey, if you've got mourn, if you've got hurt in your life, you can have the Holy Spirit. And I had people say, I didn't know that that's what the Holy Spirit does. Yeah, he's your comforter, right? Now, when I run across people that are hurting or mourning, I mean, I try to comfort them. I give them the pat on the, you know, no, really, I do good things there here. But listen, nobody can comfort you 24/7 like the Holy Spirit. Amen. I mean, I get phone calls in the middle of the night, Pastor D, you know, I pray with y'all and give you comfort and stuff like that, but I'm going back to sleep, but you got the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside 24/7, the standby, who will be your comforter, and I call him. You are my comforter today, Lord. Amen. All right, so we talked about that, and then Matthew 5, 6, we talked about hungry and thirsty, and you can go online and listen to that, and then Matthew 5, 7, we talked about mercy. Everybody say mercy. Mercy. If you show it, you will get it. You don't show it, you don't get it, okay? Because this is a sowing and reaping principle. So if I'm going to sow mercy, the sowing and reaping is I'm going to get mercy back. So I like that. Now, that was all review. Okay. Let me ask a question. Have you ever worn a piece of jewelry, either a necklace or a ring? You wore it, and you wore it for a day or two or whatever, and then when you take it off, it stained your finger or your ears. Okay, anybody ever had that happen? All right. It probably, usually, not always, but because it stained you because it was probably gold-plated or silver-plated, and that meant there was something underneath. Right? Okay. Now, the gold wasn't going to do that, but it was plated to look like gold. I actually have a necklace. Found out it started rubbing off after 40 years. I'm like, dang, that thing's not all gold. It's plated. Jeez. Jack, I thought you gave me something really nice. I know. It took me, a long time to figure that out. So, anyway, So when it's, something's plated and the you know on, it's plated and it starts wearing off. Thanks, Jack. Starts wearing off. It can stain you. It can stain you because that thing's not quality down there. So everybody say, Pastor D, what does that have to do with today? I will tell you, as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can be plated, but maybe not, but down here, okay? We can be plated. We look fine, but really, stuff on the inside, not good. So Matthew 5, verse 8. This is the Beatitudes. This is Jesus. He says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Today we're going to talk about pure heart, a pure heart. So let me say a couple things before we dig into this. Let's just say there's somebody who does something really awful. I mean the bad. And they're supposedly a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ. They asked Jesus in, all right? So they did something awful. And you know what people around them say? You know, but they have a good heart. I'm kind of choking on that. You mean, oh, you know, they just beat up their wife and he's in jail. And somebody says, yeah, but they still have a good heart. No, don't say that. Somebody said that. No, don't say that. They got a heart problem. We're going to talk about a pure heart and a heart problem, okay? So, and we want, everybody raise your hand if you want a pure heart. Praise God. That is the goal. I want to have a pure heart. Okay, turn the pages. Lord, here we go. All righty. Oh, yeah. I'm going to give you 10 different kinds of hearts that the Bible talks about. I'm going to go through them fast. You can just jot them down, or you can come up, take a picture later on, okay? There's 10 of them, all right? And obviously, the first and the most important is I want to have a good heart. I want to have a good heart. I would like someday someone to say, oh, she has a good heart, right? Anybody want them to say, oh, he has a good heart, all right? But our actions we have to understand because they show really what's in here. Amen. So we're going to figure out how to fix that. But one, our goal is to have a good heart. Number two, then there's a hard heart or a hardened heart. You could actually harden parts of your heart. Okay. You know, you're just hardened in areas. And other things, it's so good. All right. And the problem is if you allow that hard heart in this area, it can spread. So everybody say, I don't want to do that. No, okay. Here's number three, a deceitful heart. A deceitful heart. I don't think anybody here will have a deceitful heart because you wouldn't be here, all right? Number four, a divided heart. Okay, divided heart is you're divided with the things of God, such as, you know, I believe this, but I don't know about that. Or I'm in faith for this, but, you know, I'm kind of doubting. So you can have a divided heart on the things of God. Number five, a broken heart. Some people have a broken heart. They even say people die of a broken heart. I don't know if that's physically, but, you know, I hear that. I do hear that. Okay, so I have three of you said it's true. Amen. Okay, a proud heart. Okay, a proud heart doesn't like anybody to tell them anything. All right, a proud heart. Proud heart is, I don't want to hear anything that you have to say. And guys, as a follower of Jesus Christ, I want to have a good heart. I don't want anybody to say, you got a proud heart. All right, amen. Okay, number seven, uncircumcised heart. This one's in Deuteronomy 10. You have to look that up. This is usually a person that is resistant to change. Now, not my wife's going to rearrange the furniture and I don't want her to do that. That's not the resistance, okay? Resistant to change when God starts dealing with you. Okay? That's a resistant heart, okay? Fearful heart. Well, if you made it through 2020, we found out the church was a little more fearful than they should have been. As a matter of fact, where did I read this? People were getting packages, lots of packages delivered to their front door, right? And they would go out and spray their boxes. Spray them down, and then come to find out, like about 6 months later or a year later, germs don't grow on, stay on cardboard boxes. But, you know, we had a lot of fear going on, okay? People, all right? Number nine, a rebellious heart. Number 10, a wicked heart. Listen, if you're here today, you don't have a wicked heart because you wouldn't want to be here. All right, So our goal is, everybody say, I want a good heart. Right. Matthew 5:8, ready? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So how do you get from here to here? Blessed are the pure in heart, so they shall see God. Now, I know all sorts of people all over the world that have said, I saw God. I saw the Lord. And I go, okay. Oh, I had a vision and I saw the Lord. So I believe anyone in this Bible, I believe them, such as John. John's on the Isle of Patmos, and he says, I saw the Lord. And the Lord gave me all these revelations, and it's written in the book of Revelations. How about Paul? Paul says, man, I saw the Lord. How about Isaiah in the Old Testament? He said, I saw the Lord. He was high and lifted up. So I believe those. Okay, now I do run into people that say, Pastor D, well, really, I don't know any of them personally, but I read their stories. Pastor D, I saw the Lord. Some of them I know, but you know what? I'm just going to leave it at this. If it's in the Bible and they said they saw the Lord, amen, okay? Just kind of go with me. Here, now, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see the Lord. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So let me tell you what it doesn't mean. It doesn't, for you and I, not the guys in the Bible, but for you and I, you are not, doesn't mean you're going to see God with these eyeballs when your feet are on this planet. That's not what it means. But, everybody say but, someday when we go to heaven, guess what? We're going to see the Lord, all right? But that's not what the scripture's talking about. So what's it talking about? So I got to give you the definition. Here we go. Definition of see. I see the Lord. See. To be capable of comprehending and or understanding. Okay. To be made evident, that is to become very aware of something. To be aware of something that others are not aware of. So, if you're church people, that's what we call revelation knowledge. Okay? Yeah, maybe you've heard that before. Alrighty? So, such as, this has probably happened to you, I get up in the morning and I'm reading my Bible, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I've read that 10,000 times, and it just pops off the page. I see it. Anybody ever say that? Like, oh, I never saw that before. It's revelation. Revelation. And even meanwhile, I've read it 10,000 times, but one day I'm like, woo, all right? So revelation knowledge comes in different ways. Number one, everybody go, duh, from God, okay? Duh, it comes from God. Number two, revelation comes from the Word of God, just like I said. I read the Word of God, and then God gives revelation. He gives, I see something that I never saw. I comprehend something I never saw. So one is God, two is the Word of God, three is praying over the Word of God. Now, I do this a lot. I'm reading my Bible, and I hit this scripture. Matter of fact, this yesterday, I'm reading that, and I'm like, I know there's something more there. I know it. And I start praying over that word. Father, I know there's something more there. I want to know what it is. And sooner or later, sometimes sooner, the Lord just opens my eyes and I see, I comprehend. Anybody ever do that? Pray over it, all right? Or I get real sticklers because sometimes I'm rushing around, so I'm like, I think there's something more. I write this down. I have a little notebook I keep. I write it down and I go, God, I want to know. All right, just tossing it out. Amen. All right, the last one is meditate on the Word. So we have, how do you get revelation? From God, from the Word of God, from praying over the Word of God, and meditating on the Word of God. Listen, y'all meditate on the Word of God. Let me give you an example. I'm leaving for work, and I am miffed at my husband. He did something, said something, did something, what something, okay? And I'm at work, and I'm meditating on what he did. And I'm meditating at lunchtime at what he did. And I'm meditating at dinner time what he did, okay? Y'all meditate, right? Yeah, only women do that. Yeah, right. How kids do that, all right? You know, I am mad at my mom. I can't believe what she did. And then you think on it, and you tell everybody, and then you think on it, all right? So we all know how to meditate. right? So here's the thing. As a Christian, we need to meditate on what? The Word of God, okay? But I love little kids downstairs. Pastor D, I read it once. No, this is one of those things you meditate over and over and over, okay? Meditate over and over and over, okay? And then if you meditate on the Word, not just don't think of the big Bible, just take a slice out of it. If you meditate on this slice over and over and over, it will become a part of you. It'll become in you. It'll transform you. And the best description is, everybody say cow. Be like a cow. They have a couple of stomachs. So they eat grass, goes in the stomach, and then they bleh, and they chew on it again. Then they swallow it, and then they go bleh, and they chew on it again. So I'm calling you a cow, right? Yeah. That's meditating over and over and over. Praise God, Pastor D. Such good examples today. All right. So our scriptures, Matthew 5:8. If you have a pure heart, then you'll have revelation. You'll see things. So I want to have a pure heart because I want to see things. I want to know things. I want to comprehend things, okay? So what's a pure heart? Definition, here we go. Pure means to be free of a foreign substance. Okay. Yep, I see it. Foreign substance or object, to be clean or unstained. How many of you hit 50? 50? 50 is a year. They just want to check you up from head to toe and the back end. So my doctor said you need a colonoscopy because you're 50. Okay? Yeah. Don't embarrass yourself, Pastor D. It's the best sleep you'll ever have afterwards. I'll tell you that. They knock you out. Good thing. Okay. Okay. So why do they ask to have a colonoscopy? They want to look for stuff. They want to look for foreign stuff. No, that not that. Polyps, cancer stuff, okay? Or maybe your doctor said, hey, we want to check your heart out. You know, you're that age. Don't give me that. You're that age, okay? So why do they want to check your heart out? Well, they're looking for plaque in your heart or things that aren't working good, all right? And so they're looking for a foreign substance. So this is not what this verse is talking about, okay? What it's talking about, remember, you can be gold-plated, right? But on the inside, there's foreign substance, okay? Okay, you look good in church. Everybody smile. You look good in worship. Woo! But maybe there's stuff on the inside that's foreign substance, okay? And that's not good, all right? So what could be a foreign substance? What could be a foreign substance? Okay, one example, unforgiveness. Unforgiveness in here. Everybody say foreign substance, okay? So what happens if you have unforgiveness, strife, envy, all this stuff in here? Well, what is in your heart will start to come out of you. What's in your heart, that foreign substance will start to come out of you, okay? And then, if that wasn't bad enough, you start acting out because you've got this foreign substance that's been in here. And you just, you know, comes out, starts acting out. Now, this is what people do, most people do. What? Until you read the rest of this, okay? People go, I repent. Everybody say, I repent. Okay, so they repent for the way they acted out. They repent because you just blew up and blah, 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 came out of your mouth. So I repent for blah, 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 out of my mouth, okay? But they never go deeper and say, you know, wait a minute. The reason why I went meep, meep, meep out of my mouth, okay, is I got into strife with that person. They just ticked me off. And now, oh, I got junk in here, okay? And that junk is in here until, everybody say until. Until you start working on it. And listen, the Bible says where there's envy and strife, there's every evil work. I want to get this junk out, all right? Junk out. Now, it's great when you repent, but if you just repent and you don't start digging, you know where they say peel the onion, peel off, you're gonna have that stuff stay. You're going to have that stuff stay. Yeah, until you say, Lord, there's something in there, and I don't like this, so I'm going to forgive, and I'm going to repent, and I'm going to move on. Okay, we'll talk more about that later. But here's the thing. If you, but there's really foreign substance in here, okay? That foreign substance that you have in here will start, you'll start pushing away from God. Seen it? Been there and done it too, okay? So when you have this stuff, you'll see, you'll start pushing away, all right? So here we go. Question. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, am I allowed to say about my heart, you know, because of what that person did, I mean, they really did me wrong. I just felt violated. So I am allowed to have that in my heart. Right? Okay. No, you need to get rid of that out of your heart. You need to repent that you had that in your heart. You need to forgive that person. You need to release that person, not cuss that person, and even bless that person. Okay? Now, have you ever been around a person that's had a sin-stained heart? Don't look at the ceiling. Just look up here. Okay. Don't point at anybody. Okay? Okay. You've been around there just like 5 minutes. And you're like, oh, they're one of them. They have a sin-stained heart. Because what's in your heart starts coming out of your heart. You start acting out, your heart starts coming in. Matter of fact, those people that have that sin-stained heart, they want you to sit right next to them. So that you can do the same thing. And we can just be buddies. And it's just contagious. All right? Yeah. Been around that. Matter of fact, oh yeah, okay, looking at the ceiling, here we go. Okay, here we go. Question, write this down. So what does God want you to have in your heart? What should I have in my heart? Write that down. What should I have in my heart, okay? Well, I'm going to give you three things that belong in your heart. Ready? The first one, is the Word of God, okay? So why is the Word of God so important? Why is the Word of God so important? This is David, Psalm 119, verses 10 and 11. Why is the Word of God so important to have in your heart? He says, I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands, from the Word of God. Watch, now watch this. I have hidden your Word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So why do we sin? Maybe you've not hid the Word in your heart, okay? So hide the Word in your heart, and this tells me I'm probably not going to do the big, bad, and dirty. The more I have the Word hid in my heart, the more I meditate on my heart, I'm not going to do that, right? So how do you hide the Word in your heart? You meditate. What do you meditate? How does that look? I just go over it and over and over and over it, okay? So the second thing that belongs in your heart, so one is the Word of God, two is the love of God. The love of God. Now, I always go back to this, but COVID, people were like, I'm just going to tell everybody like it is. And I'm like, no, you're not supposed to do that. You're a believer. You're a Christian. You're a child of God. You're made in the image of God. God is love. And I just saw, listen, the world is going in a lot of directions that I don't agree with. You know, I'm not voting for it. It's just getting bad. Doesn't matter. You still will demonstrate, love people. Say, what's that song? Love God, love people. You're still going to do that because... because we're supposed to, because that's the kind of heart, okay? Romans 5:5, this is why. Hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured within your hearts. Where's the love of God? When did you get the love of God? The day you received Jesus, okay? The love of God is poured into your hearts through and by the Holy Spirit. And this is our last one. The last thing you should have is the Holy Spirit living on the inside the day you received Jesus. You received Jesus, and the Holy Spirit came to live on the inside. Listen to this, Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, everybody say, yeah, in here. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give your life to your mortal bodies through the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. So, here's my question. Why do I desire a good heart? Well, why do you want to have a pure heart, all right? Because if I have a pure heart and I don't have foreign substance, I will start to see the things that God sees. I will start to understand. I will hear and comprehend. That's number one reason why I want to have a pure heart. Praise God. Turn over to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Okay. When I have a pure heart, I'll start to see God. I'll see the things of God. I'll comprehend things. I'll understand things. He'll show me. But if I've got a bunch of stuff, I'm not going to see and hear and know. Y'all at Mark chapter 4? Pure heart. That's what it looks like. Ready? Mark chapter 4, verse 20. But these are the ones sown on good ground. Okay, good ground is the ground that represents our heart. These are the ones that are sown on good ground, those that hear the word, those accept the word, those that bear fruit. Okay? And then it says some 30, some 60, some hundredfold. So, what do you need to be doing? Well, I'm going to have a pure heart. When I have a pure heart, I'm going to bear fruit. It's going to, the word of God will bear fruit in my life. I might just be really nice to hang out with because I've got a pure heart, amen? So the word sown in your heart is going to produce fruit. Now, here's the problem. I say problem. There's different kinds of ground. Yeah, there's not just a good ground. Matter of fact, the first one is found in Mark 4, verse 15. And I'm not, just jot that down. They're not going to put it on the screen. It was just going to get too much here, okay? Mark 4, 15. The first ground, if you take notes, Mark 4, 15 is called the wayside ground, okay? This is seed that's sown in hard ground, and the birds come, and they pick it up, and they eat it, and they carry it away. So Mark 5:14 says, these are the ones sown by the wayside where the word was sown. When they hear the word, Satan comes immediately and takes the word away that was sown in their hearts. They don't even have a chance to have bad stuff. It's just grow in their hearts. Just the devil just takes the word away from them. Then you might say, oh my gosh, is that going to happen to me today? I'm hearing the word and it's just going to get taken out of my life? No, because I'm going to tell you this one. Write down Matthew chapter 13, verse 9. The this is Jesus talking about the same thing. Jesus is talking about the same thing. Matthew chapter 13, verse 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it. So I'm hearing the word, I don't understand it. I'm hearing the word, I don't understand it. So what happens? Then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. So my job as Pastor D is to make sure you understand it. And I'm telling you, I taught children's ministry a long time. If you walk out of here, but my desire is you always walk out of here understanding it, all right? So your seed's not taken away. And amen, you will. All right, Mark 4, verses 16 to 17. Everybody write this one. Stony ground or rocky ground. Stony ground or rocky ground. Okay, stony ground or rocky ground. They have no real roots, okay? The seed's planted, but it's on stony ground. It's rocky ground. So the word that you've heard that I explained really simple, okay, you didn't let it get deep roots because you have a part. You have to let it get meditate, yeah, get deep inside of you, all right? So it didn't get deep, and then troubles come and persecutions come. All right, and then they fall away. How many of you know people that have fallen away from walking with the Lord? Okay? Troubles came. Life hit. Stuff hits. And they just fall away. Okay? That's what happens. Okay? But that's on rocky ground, and they didn't get their roots deep into the Word. Okay, a pure heart doesn't have foreign substance, but that stony ground, what's happened is you're allowing your heart to hear or to do things, and all you got this stuff in here. So you're going to get pushed away from the Lord. You'll actually push yourself away from the Lord. You know, God never moves. People walk away. People drift. But God is here. Okay? I used to say, oh, well, God left me. No, Bubba. He's there, all right? And but when you've got stony ground and you've got stuff hits you, people walk away. I don't want to be that. Amen. Okay, Mark 4, 18 and 19, this is thorny ground, thorns, okay? Thorny ground is everybody here at one time or another. What, Pastor D? Yeah, thorny ground is everybody here at one time or another in your life. No way, Pastor D. Yes way, Pastor D. Okay, thorny ground, it says, you allow the worries to choke you. Anybody ever worry once in your life? Anybody worry all last night? Anybody worry about getting to church? Okay, we all worry. Okay, that's thorny ground, and it'll choke the word out of your life. Okay, the other part it says, worries, cares of life, deceitfulness of riches. Oh, but Pastor D, money will solve my problem. I know people that are dang rich, and they got the same problems you have. Okay? Money's not going to solve your problem. So the other one is deceitful riches and the desires of other things. Things, okay? And the word is unfruitful, unproductive. Okay. So those two grounds, the thorny ground and the stony ground, they had foreign stuff that comes in. Now you might think, yeah, Pastor D, I'm allowed to have unforgiveness. Because you know, I'm allowed to be in strife, Pastor D. I'm allowed to have envy. And you can go on your list. I'm allowed, okay? Okay. Here's the thing. If it's hurting you, I don't think so. If that envy, strife, bitterness, whatever, anger, is hurting you, I don't think so. But Pastor D, I'm so mad. You don't know what they did to me. Probably I don't. But Pastor D, you know, did you hear what happened? Probably don't. Don't hear, didn't hear, don't care. Okay, but what I do know, okay, is the Bible says you need to release people. You need to let them go. You need to let them go and forgive them, okay? If you don't, it'll take you down. Anybody been taken down, holding on to those things? Shh. Okay? Okay, listen. You need to release them. You need to forgive them and let them go. And then you say, and God, you can deal with them. I love telling the Lord, they're your problem now. I'm not going to let this happen. I'm not going to have that foreign substance in me, okay? So let's close with what God wants you to do with your heart, all right? Now, we're not talking about natural heart. We're talking about a supernatural heart. So if you're taking notes, what does God want you to do with your heart? What does God want me to do with my heart? God wants you to, write this down, guard your heart. I'm responsible for guarding my heart. And I give you a few pointers on the way, but really, you are responsible for guarding your heart. All right? Guard your heart. Think about this. The gateway into your heart, how you allow things into your heart is through this. The gateway into your heart starts with your mind and your thoughts. That's how you get junk in your heart. So it starts with your mind, okay? And the mind is this gateway that things come down into my heart. So what happens, how do you get things in your mind? By what you see, by what you hear. I know this is so elementary, but I'm going to step on toes in about 5 seconds, okay? So I want to guard this heart, but the stuff I think on, okay, meditate on, okay, the things I see through the eye gate and the ear gate end up in here and then they go down here and then I'm a mess, all right? So let me ask you a question. Do you think 3 to 4 hours of TikTok or gaming 3 to 4 hours, and I'm going to get your toes in, binge-watching Netflix for 8 hours, but Pastor, I'm just chilling. Okay? Do you think that something's getting into your heart? Yeah, okay. Okay, what's getting in? It's getting in through my eyes. It's getting in through what I listen, okay? And then all of a sudden, I've got polluted heart, all right? So let's talk about music. Pastor D, don't talk about music. People really get offended when you talk about music. I don't care. I'm going to talk about music. When you are listening to crude stuff in your music, sexual stuff, like, I didn't know you could do that, listen to that music, like, what? Okay, when you're listening to that, it goes in the ear gate that's up here that goes down here, right? So, now, let me tell you this. The world that we live in, the world that we live in, and you live in the world. You're here until Jesus checks you out, okay? The world that you live in wants you to think that the way they think is normal. The world that we're living in wants you to think the way they think is normal. Yeah, okay? Now, but guys, we live in a new kingdom, okay? So I live in God's kingdom. I was taken out of hell. I'm in God's kingdom. And I think I should ask God how I should live in this kingdom, all right? So what you see, what you hear. Let's talk about this. Matthew chapter 6, verse 22. This is part of the Beatitudes. This is Jesus, okay? And he says, I'm going to flip over here. And he says, Matthew 6, 22, the eye is the lamp of the body. Oh, the eye lets stuff in, right? Okay, so the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness and da-da-da-da-da. Okay, so it's important what you see. It's important what you hear. Everybody say, I still love you, Pastor D. I know. Turn to Philippians 4, okay, because it gives you the answer. Philippians 4. Philippians 4, 8. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. I still work on this. Anybody still working on that? I had to pull it in this morning on that, okay? So be anxious. Don't worry about nothing. But in everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made to God. And the peace of God, the God kind of peace, which passes all understanding, God's peace passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ. It's like a military garrison. Okay, God's peace will just guard this. So I'm going to keep in there. All right. So how do we do this? Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true. The world isn't telling you true. Whatever things are noble, they ain't telling you noble stuff. Whatever things are just, whatever things are pure. What do we want is a pure heart. Whatever things are pure, all right? Whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on those things. Or one translation says, think of those things. I'm going to think on things that are lovely. I'm going to think on things that are pure. I'm going to think on things that are good, okay? So, so I am going to think on those things, and they will occupy my mind, and then they'll go into my heart, and then I really am this. Amen. All right. So, by the way, TikTok, Instagram, I don't even know half that stuff. My kids always lay a new one on me, and I'm like, what is that? Okay? All of that media is trying to get you to buy something. Buy it physically, buy it doctrinally. Yep, okay? They're trying to sell you something. Okay? They're trying to tell you, you know, if you're born on this planet and you could be something, you can decide to be something than what God told you are. Okay? Yeah, they're trying to make you buy something, all right? You can be whatever you want to be. You know, Christians, you can just do whatever you want to do. You know, you can have your own truth. That's the world. That's the culture. And they say it a little bit, you know, they kind of put a little different color icings on it, okay? But listen, this is the only truth, okay? This is the Bible. This is the truth. So when you hear the culture saying something, okay, you go digging in here, you'll find the truth. Amen. And let's see. Oh, yes, yes. Okay, praise God. We are doing great. And they said that clock runs slow, fast. I'm good. Shoo, I love Okay. All righty. Let me give you an example out of the Old Testament. This is a guy in the Old Testament. Listen, what is it? This is a guy in the Old Testament. Listen, he was affected by what he saw and by what he heard. And just like all of us, you live in this culture, you can be affected by what you see and by what you hear. His name is Lot. Open up to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, okay? I should probably be 6, but I'm going to start in verse 7. And delivered righteous Lot, God delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the world. How filthy? Good question. Let me answer that. Lot had some daughters. Okay, Lot had some daughters. Okay, and then these two angels come down from heaven. Well, they didn't come with their big wings. They come, I'm going to use the word disguise, but they come looking like men. Okay, these two angels come down from heaven, and they're men that come down, look like men, okay, but they're really angels, okay? And they come to visit Lot because God's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of the sin, okay? And Lot says, that it goes on, and then Lot's, so the whole town, all the men, all the young men and the old men, all the men come pounding on the door, pulling on the door. And they go, Lot, give us those two men so we can have sex with them. Genesis chapter 19, great Bible reading this afternoon, okay? They bring these two men so we can have sex in them. Guys, that's messed up. Well, not in our culture. You know, what's wrong with that, Pastor D? No, that's messed up. According to this, right? Woo, Pastor D. Okay, so Lot has got messed up because of what he saw. Now let me tell you what happens. He's messed up by what he saw and what he heard living in this town, all right? And he says, so they're pounding on the door, give us these two men so we can have sex with them. And Lot says, no, hey, you can take my two daughters that are virgins and you can do whatever you want to do with them. When I get to heaven, you want to slap him and say, are you kidding me? What were you thinking to give your two daughters to them? That's unbelievable, right? Okay. Now, of course, the two men slash angels, they yank Lot back in the house and they go, no, you're not going to do that. And God goes and strikes all those men blind and they're running around crashing into each other. Crazy story. Genesis chapter 19. Bible devotions tonight. I'll tell you, read Genesis, okay? Okay. Question, how did Lot get to that point? Okay, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 8. For that man, Lot, that righteous man, dwelling among them, tormented his righteous soul from day to day. Oh, have you ever felt tormented in your mind? Okay, keep reading. By seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Okay, I don't know why I write this in my notes. Oppressed means to be tortured, tormented, harassed. Can you have your mind tormented? Yeah, I sure can. How does it happen? It starts here, and it's really through here, it's through here, right? All right, righteous Lot had that happening, all right? So, just the thought, why don't you put on some music in your house, in your car, in your ears, that have to do with God? How about you read some things that have to do with God and watch torment leave? Put on some good stuff. Okay, Lot's soul, his mind, his heart was tormented by what he saw and by what he heard. Okay, wrapping up. Not really. Okay. What if all I have to do is change what I see and what I hear? What if all I have to do is guard my heart? And it's that simple. Open up to Proverbs chapter 4. This is the last scripture. This is the last one, all right? Okay. Proverbs chapter 4. My son, oh, I love this. My son, Proverbs 4:20, sorry. My son, attend to my word. Oh, okay. Consent and submit to my word. Oh, is this written to pastors? No. Anybody who's a child of God, my son, my daughter, attend to my word. Consent and submit to my sayings, my word. Oh, read your Bible. Oh, yeah. How about daily have a time where you sit down with God? And I'm just going to throw this out. Get a notebook and just start writing those things that jump off the page. And you go, whoa, okay. My son, attend to my word, consent and submit to my sayings. Verse 21, let them not depart from your sight. What do you have to keep in your sight? The word. Woo, okay. Keep them in the center of your heart. Verse 22. For they, the words, are life to those that find them. You have to go after them. You have to find them. You have to sit down with them. Okay? For they are life for those who find them. And well, watch this. And healing and health to all your flesh. Amen. Verse 23. Keep and guard your heart with all diligence. That means it's going to take some effort. Yeah? You can't have one day a week where you're like, da-da-da, guard my heart, and the rest of the week you're off duty. Okay? Keep and guard your heart with all diligence, and above all that you guard. Why? For out of it flows the springs of life. Out of it flows the springs of life. Everything comes out of your heart. That's just the way God made it. It's just the way it is. So it is important to keep this guarded. Amen? All right. Now, you got a natural heart. And they go in and they find, there's a lot of plaque in there, you know. It's all clogged up. It's all messed up, all righty? So what are they going to do usually? They're going to put a stent in or they're going to do surgery, all right? Okay, why? Because you got some stuff in there that's not supposed to be there. Now, God's not going to do surgery like that. But you get that word in you. It'll clean that stuff out, amen? Praise the Lord. Verse 24, oh yeah. Put away from you false and dishonest speech. Do you want to sit down with that person who's negative out of their mouth? I don't, okay? The last part. And willful and contrary talk put far from you. Some people, you just hang out with them 2 minutes and you go, man, that's not going to be good for my heart. Anybody know anybody like that? Don't raise your hand. Yeah. Okay? What do you do? Get away from them. Okay. Change the name. Okay. So there's this particular person, okay, that was just like really negative. So I would, I gotta look this way. So they're not here. So I would go grocery shopping and I'd stop at their house. And I knew just, we start good, love you, pray and what's going on. And then they just go negative on me. And I go, I've got groceries in my car. I got to go. Just tossing that one out to you. Okay? You get around that negative. You got to figure a way to get out of there, right? Now, okay. So you pray for them, okay? But do not let them fill your heart. Praise the Lord. So, now I'm not telling you who you are allowed to and who you're not allowed to. Okay? Your mother will. But your heart is so important. You need to protect it. Because what you see, what you hear, goes here, and then it goes here. Amen. So, bow your heads, close your eyes. I really want to pray. If you can, just be really still. So this is one of these, you know, this isn't one of these, yippee, hallelujah. But listen, this heart of ours is so important because unless this is clear, clean, pure heart, we're not going to accomplish the things God has for us. People God wants us to minister to, the blessings he wants. It's just, so this is really important. So here's a question. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Is there anything that, this is you, this I love it. Search my heart, O Lord. This is out of Psalms. Is there anything that I have allowed in my heart that I shouldn't? Is there anything that I've allowed in my heart that I shouldn't? And how can I, Lord, how can I allow you in instead of that? Those are good questions. That's a dialogue. That's you right now, right? Just get quiet, okay? So just like this, Father, what have I allowed in my heart that I shouldn't? And for some of you, maybe it's just time to ask for forgiveness. Maybe it's time to just say, I release that person. I've let that unforgiveness in, and I'm going to release that person. Okay? Some of you, it's like, this is the time I make a covenant and say, Father, I'm going to think on what's right. I'm going to listen to what's right. I'm going to watch the right things, and I'm going to fill up my heart with your word. So everybody, just take a moment. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you, okay? Lord, you know, just search my heart. And then, you know, whatever God's talking to you, you just get it right. Let's go back to that pure heart. Let's clean out that foreign substances, right? I want a pure heart. I want to see God. I want to see. I want to hear. I want to be used by God. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, you're speaking to hearts. Thank you for your speaking to hearts. Okay, while we're still just really quiet, okay, just respectful of the presence of God, respectful, just still be quiet, be still. I'm going to ask you to be respectful of people sitting next to you, because maybe God's still dealing with them, right? Right? But here's my other thing I want to ask. Jesus came so that I could be a child of God. Jesus came so that you could have a relationship with him, with the Father, with the Holy Spirit. So here's my question. What have you done with Jesus? And I'm not asking, hey, do you go to church? Hey, are you in a Christian family? Did you go to Christian school? I'm not asking if you were water baptized. Really, the million-dollar question is, what have you done with Jesus? And someday, you will be asked that question. But today is a good day to deal with it. So what have you done with Jesus? Can you remember a time where you said, Jesus, I need you. I need you. I'm far from you. I need you in my life. So that's the million-dollar question. What have you done with Jesus? And today, if you're here and go, Pastor D, I'm ready. I don't want to live another day. I don't want to live another day without this. It's hard out there. You're not kidding. Especially without the Lord. So if you're here and you'd say, Pastor D, I'd like Jesus to be in my life. I'd like to receive Jesus into my life. If that's you, I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand. Nobody's looking around. Okay? Or if you'll say, Pastor D, I prayed that prayer. I prayed and asked Jesus into my heart a while ago, a long time ago, church camp, children's ministry, but man, I'm far from him. And you know, life hits and people fall away, and maybe that's you. And today you're like, whew, I want to come back. Lord, I want to recommit. It's really just recommit, just make a 180 turn. So if that's you and you'd say, Pastor D, I'm far from God and I'd like to come back. I want to just want to get recommit my life to you. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Because we're going to pray for you. Okay, I see those hands. All right, good. Praise God, praise God, praise God. So if you'd like to receive Jesus or you'd like to recommit your life to Jesus, you're just going to raise your hand. Good. Okay. So we're all going to pray for them, okay? And I know a whole bunch of you have prayed already, but we're going to pray for them. And for those of you that raised your hand, just pray this prayer from your heart, okay? Pray it loud enough that you can hear it. Just pray it from your heart. And God will do the miracles on the inside, okay? He's the miracle worker. So everybody say this with me. Father God, I'm a sinner, and I need Jesus. I need a Savior. And right now, I ask Jesus to come into my life, to wash my sins away. Jesus, right now, I've accepted you. And now I'm a child of God. I am loved of God forever. Amen. Amen. Hey, if you prayed that prayer, man, everybody say, I'm good. Yeah, I'm good now. I'm good. All right. Amen, amen. All right, stand up. Father, I thank you for these people. They're so precious to you. They're precious to me. Father, I thank you, Father, that they have heard, and I believe they've understood, because Pastor D didn't make it that complicated. But I thank you, Father, for transformed lives. I thank you, Father, they are light, Father, in the places that you've called them. They're blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you would like prayer for anything,